Hi guys, welcome back to What's On Your Mind. I'm here today with Jordan Laurel. Jordan was inspired by the concept of La Belle Vie and started her blog back in 2016, Belle by Laurel. She had the intention to inspire and empower women to create a beautiful life for themselves like she did for herself. When she started, Jordan was a classical pianist in a controlling marriage. She didn't know who she was or what her purpose was, but after committing to transforming her life, she was able to create a life that felt magical. Jordan is now the host of the Magical Human Experience podcast and has an audience of nearly 300,000 people just on Instagram. Jordan is here today to tell us about her journey and how we can live our best lives. Jordan, thank you so much for being here. Why don't you say hi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat.
I'm so excited to chat. I was listening to your podcast actually yesterday, and I was like, oh my gosh, I know this conversation is going to be amazing and so soul nourishing. So thank you so much for being here.
Yes, I'm always here for soul nourishing conversations. We need it.
We do. Before we get into our soul nourishing conversation, why don't you give us a little rundown of who you are and what you do in your own words?
Sure. Yeah. So as I guess was in my intro, used to be a classical pianist and I got bored, which people are always like, what do you mean you got bored? Like it sounds so cool. It's different, but the day to day for me, especially the further out I got from my master's, was teaching little kids piano. And I love kids, but I am not a like classroom person. And it was a lot of like, where's middle C? Which for me was not very emotionally or intellectually stimulating. And I was like, okay, I'm such a creative. I love creating. I had a jewelry business in high school. I would hand make jewelry and sell it at craft shows and on Etsy. I was into photography, would enter photography competitions. So I was always doing creative things and I just felt so drained doing that. And so I started my blog on the side for fun and it ended up taking off. Ended up becoming one of the like original Philadelphia influencers that had like a following and was established. And that afforded me a lot of opportunity and exposure since it was a smaller market that wasn't as popular as like New York or LA. And fast forward to a few months before the pandemic, I also was raised in a very, very disempowering towards women community. It was a very strict sect of Christianity and, you know, to each their own. And I'm always so respectful of anybody's beliefs surrounding religion, but for me, there was a lot of damaging components to the sect that I was raised in. It was a lot of shame and fear and judgment and a lot of control and just putting down of women. I like technically under my husband's authority and supposed to submit to and obey him. So there's a lot of, yeah, clearly, and I'm an Aries, so like that did not sit well with me. And so eventually I had the courage to fight and put my foot down and be like, no, we're getting divorced, because I wasn't allowed
Good
to
for
divorce him
you.
out of the marriage. And I like obeyed that. But yeah, so thank you. And I did that. And then COVID hit 3 months later and it sat me on my ass. I was so anxious. I was so scared. I was just like, did I ruin my life? Was this a mistake? I was so lonely. And I knew, I saw other women who were sharing their stories. And they had even given me courage to get divorced, women who had been in a similar situation, similar culture, and they had taken a leap of faith and that risk on themselves. And so I knew that there was a light at the end of the tunnel, and there were people who had been through what I had who felt amazing and just had a very joyful, purpose-driven life. And I was like, I want that. Like, I want to feel good. I want to love what I'm doing and love my life. I was beginning to feel like the fashion and the beauty that I was posting on Instagram, it just felt a bit vapid, especially in what we were going through at the time during COVID, you know, such a serious, heavy thing. And I am posting about style. Like, it just didn't feel right. So enter my just, I just dove into psychology, mental health, mindset, trauma healing, all of that stuff. And it was just life-changing for me, very healing. I went and got trained to be a life coach, and was just like, I need to incorporate this in my content. So I really dove into talking about anxiety, talking about healing, talking about boundaries and codependency, and like all this stuff that I was learning to work through in my own life and making changes and growing and seeing really beautiful results. And then I was like, kind of focusing a lot on that. And I was like, but wait, I miss the fashion and the beauty now. Like, I love that too. Like, how do I do both? And that was about when I was learning how to manifest. So I feel like the trauma healing got me to feel like stable. I wasn't like riddled with anxiety. I wasn't super disempowered, but I wasn't like lit up. And manifestation was what really took me to that next level of like living from my power, feeling so excited about life, and really believing I can create whatever I want. Like, that's exciting, you know, not just
That
like
is.
live it. You're like, you're
Yes.
creating, you're thriving. And from there, I was like, okay, I want to start a podcast. I started infusing that into my coaching. I started having clients see amazing results. So I kind of ended up fusing it all with the focus of helping people step into their power and create a life that they love. So using manifestation, but then also still diving into trauma healing and emotional availability and mindset, but then also using style and beauty, because I realized I've been using style since I started my blog to manifest. I used it to help me feel like that successful, confident woman that I always wanted to be. And I kept like feel, I would put on clothes that made me feel that. And eventually I started to actually just feel that way and act that way and live that way and create that and then believe that about myself. So I was like, this is my intersection. It's all manifestation of personal power focused. And that can be internal, deep, you know, meaningful things that I'm talking about, or it can be fun external things like a really cool red lipstick or style. And so that's what I'm doing today. I'm really diving more into the meaty stuff on my podcast, sharing a lot of style and beauty and life and travel and just me and fun on my Instagram. And, you know, I have some other smaller platforms. I'm getting back on YouTube. But yeah, kind of just trying to help people, inspire people, and yeah, do it through example, but also helping them practically.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I was looking at your feed too, and it's still very much catered towards like you're saying, style and whatnot. And there's also so many different things that I want to touch on there. First, you said something that I thought was very interesting, using style and fashion and beauty to help you step into the life that you want to live. And I think that's a very interesting notion. I think that's one that a lot of people, specifically women, tap into without even realizing that they do it. So,
1,000%.
yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about that and tell us about how maybe we can be more intentional about those kinds of things and those choices that we make on a daily basis, right?
Yes, sure. So manifestation, let me break down manifestation a little bit for anyone listening here who's maybe a little less familiar. So manifestation, ultimately, it's about being a vibrational match for what you want to call in. But that involves mostly embodying the person who has the thing. And so that's what my 7-step process is, essentially, is to help you be the person who has the thing, who therefore is the match for the thing they want to call in. So that involves, for me, step one is getting clear. Step two is removing limiting beliefs. Step three is then replacing them with beliefs that align with what I want and that I can have what I want. Step four is then to become a match. So practical match, you know, if I am filling my time and energy with all of these things dragging me down, it's going to be hard to be practically available for the things I want in my life that are higher vibe and more aligned. But then also energetically, how do I become an energetic match? You know, a person with a lot of money feels abundant. So how do I support myself in feeling abundant? Then step five is to release. So I completely release any attachment to needing the thing and then a specific iteration of the thing. Step six is then to take inspired action. So I live in this state of flow where I'm constantly following the intuitive hits that I get with what I feel led to do, which could be related to or not with exactly what I'm calling in. And then step seven is to receive. And so for me, the way that a lot of the things I do in my life tie into my manifestation process is so step four is a lot about feeling, right? And even embodying. A big part of embodying the person is feeling the feeling. So when say I am calling in, I would really love to write a book. I would really love to be doing a lot more speaking engagements, like at events and on panels and things like that. So if that's what I'm calling in, then doing things and wearing things in my day-to-day life that make me feel like a leader is going to support me in embodying that person and then manifesting it. It's very interesting how on a subconscious level, like when I started wearing suits, I felt powerful in them. And it really alters your self-perception. And people don't realize how powerful self-perception is. And I do like very intentional self-perception work with like journaling and affirmations, but dressing as the person you want to become subconsciously alters your self-perception. So if for anybody listening, if you're get clear on what you want. You know, do you maybe want to call in a romantic partner? Do you want to call in wealth? Do you want to call in a better job? Get clear on maybe some of the attributes of that thing you're calling in or the dynamic it would create in your life. So say, for example, for me, when, you know, if I wanted to call in a partner, I would want to feel appreciated and sexy and maybe more feminine, like embodying my feminine energy. So maybe I would start wearing things that made me feel more sexy or feel more feminine, you know, or things that maybe got me a lot of compliments. So I'd feel appreciated and wanted. So it's very, you can be very intentional and really use style in that way to manifest, just using it essentially to help you feel the feelings of and embody the person who has the thing that you're wanting.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of power in dressing and like really fully being the person that you want to be without already being there, because it's just, it's a form of embodiment, like you're saying, but that's one way. That's just one way we can be an energetic match, right? So what are some of the other ways? What are things that we can do to become an energetic match for the thing that we want, or for the person that we want to become, which is something you'll talk a lot about, right?
Yeah. 100%. Well, so it's, you can take it, so on like a very practical level. So again, I am really trying to just be able to show up as a leader to the women that I am serving, whether it's on my podcast, on my platform. So things I do to help me feel like a queen practically, or a leader, or whatever, you know, resonates with you, goddess. There's a lot of terms going on right now that I know women are using to help them like embody that higher level self. I like to make sure I make time for self-care. And self-care for me is not just the physical things that we think of, like taking a bath. I do that. I do luxuriate myself. I take time for my skincare routine, but I also take space. Like having time is a luxury. Time between meetings, time.
I love your reaction. Sorry. I have so much to say on this. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah. So me thinking, okay, is a queen running around ragged, exhausted, giving her energy to everybody who wants it? No. So I'm very careful, like, to make sure I have, when I go to my days in New York, I'm up in New York multiple days a week, I make sure I have time to rest in between things if I need to reflect, to center. Centering is big for me because I want to bring my best energy to whoever I'm interacting with, whatever way I'm serving out in my purpose. And that I need that sometimes, because when we're busy, automatically we just get pulled out of being centered. Sometimes our nervous system gets dysregulated. Somebody's rude. Somebody runs into you on the sidewalk, whatever might happen. So yes, time, creating time is a way that you can really show yourself, I value you. You are important. You are worthy of being cared for and of having,
yes.
You're so
sorry. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. I'm also wildly, wildly discerning with what I put in my head. So whether that's music lyrics, you know, and I'm not saying you can't enjoy yourself or your life, you know, like I think junk food, 80-20, I enjoy junk food, and junk food adds value 10 to 20%, you know, at the time. So sometimes, you know, need a little bit of Katy Perry or Lady Gaga or whatever it might be, but I'm very careful with TV shows and I'm very careful with people. You know, if you really believe that you are this quality, high value person, why are you letting people that are treating you like shit in your life? Or why are you hanging around with people who are constantly complaining and doing nothing? You're going to be impacted by that, whether you realize it or not.
Energy suckers, they're leeches of your energy. I swear to God, like that's something that I'm trying to be much more mindful of, especially as I get older, is like before you didn't really have control. I think this is the thing too, is like when you're progressing into that adulthood phase of your life, right? Like you, in the beginning, you don't have control over really who you spend time with because you're not making your play dates. You're not organizing like your hangouts, right? Like your parents are doing all of that for you, which is all fine and well. But there comes a point where it's up to you to decide who you're spending your time with, how you're spending your time, what you're doing with that time, where your energy is going, because time is energy. And that time that you're spending is time and energy taken away from something else, which might be more valuable and might be more beneficial and uplifting. Because especially now, there's a lot of times I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, I am so drained from this conversation. I feel like that's the biggest indicator when you leave the social interaction, and how you feel after that interaction is a huge indicator about how, you know, that interaction was for you, whether it was beneficial or if it was a negative interaction, however you want to, that was a long-winded way of saying what you're saying, but yeah.
No, 1,000%. And I think being, first of all, it takes being reflective. You have to train yourself to be reflective. It took me a little while to be very self-aware. But once you become aware, yes, you need to evaluate, like, is this a mutual reciprocal energy exchange or is it not? And you are worthy. And people think it's selfish, but it's not. And it's taken me, this is what to do if you're having trouble. For anyone listening, if you're having trouble saying no to people or disappointing people, because I struggle with people pleasing. So this is great.
Me too.
I think women, especially in general, struggle with it. I think we're trained to cater and nurture and kind of bend over backwards for men a lot. And I it's just not healthy. I think we're different, sure, but we should be equal, and there should be, it always should be mutual. But anyway, if you struggle with disappointing people or saying no, one of the things that has helped me the absolute most is to root myself in my value. And so that has involved self-worth work. It has involved self-worth work, self-love work. But the biggest thing I think is starting to treat myself like an asset. I treat myself really well now. And so now I value myself so much, and I see the good I'm doing in the right relationships, in my purpose, where I'm meant to be giving my energy, that now I am so compelled when I sense that it's a situation that's going to just drain and it's not helping me at all and it's not supporting me. It's so much easier for me to say no. But when you don't value yourself, that's when you will continue to say yes to things that are not aligned.
How, I think it's very easy to say back, like, you that you value yourself, but I think it's very hard to show yourself that you value yourself, right? I could say that, but I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to ask you is, how can you show yourself that you value yourself? What are tangible things that one can do? Because going back to your point before, I think women are trained to kind of devalue themselves at the expense, or value someone else at the expense of themselves, right? It's kind of like it's not a symbiotic relationship. It's very one-sided a lot of the time, because you're giving, but you're not getting. And because you give so much, you don't even have time to give to yourself.
Yeah. That's how you value yourself. You give to yourself first and foremost. I make sure that I feed myself well, that I have little treats that I give myself. I make sure that I have time to decompress when I need to. I work out. I take care of my body. I nourish. So when I'm eating, I make sure I'm nourishing myself. I make sure I'm making time every single day to work on my mindset. I set aside time if I ever feel, and obviously you can't always do it in the moment, right? Like, we have lives and commitments and we're busy, but whenever I'm able to, and if not, I'll make time later. If I feel myself, I do a lot of emotional availability work, because that's how you build trust with yourself and learn to parent yourself and have that intimate connection to you, which for me has given me so much stability in my dating life. Like, I, for the first time, don't struggle with insecure attachments, so avoidant or anxious. I'm very stable and secure because I'm securely attached to me now. So I don't need somebody else to make me feel stable anymore. And I don't look to my relationships for safety and stability. I look to me for that. So emotional availability work is a big way I nurture and take care of myself and show I value myself. When I start to feel dysregulated or anxious or upset or nervous or scared or depressed, I sit with myself and I first of all accept that I'm feeling that way. And then I journal out, okay, what's coming up? And I get all the shit out. And I sit with it. I let myself feel it and I validate myself. Because you know what? I'm all the things I'm afraid of, that, you know, I'm going to be doing this till the day I die. I always, things come up. I'm afraid of this or that or the other. And I validate myself. Like, it makes so much sense that you felt anxious about this. Like, this happened to you in the past. And so it makes sense that you're worried about it happening again. But then I shift into shifting my mindset. I know what I'm calling in and creating. I know that I'm so supported. I will go back and look at evidence, because I actually journal out and keep notes of everything I manifest. So I have evidence showing how supported and taken care of I am and how everything's working out and it's all coming in the right way at the right time. So that's how I help shift myself out of that. And caretaking for myself like that shows me, it builds trust with me. it shows me that I am here. I have my back. And I feel like it has made such a difference in value myself. Because when you take care of yourself really well, like you would your little girl, like it's kind of similar to like, how would you take care of a little girl if you had her or a little boy? You know, you would support them and nurture them and feed them. And if they're crying or upset, you would hold them. And when you learn how to parent yourself like that, you value yourself. You realize you're valuable. And then on top of that, I'll do things like, you know, affirmations like I am competent. I am capable. I trust myself. I love myself. I am beautiful. I am strong. I am successful. I'm a leader. You know, I'll do things like that. But I really think the showing up for yourself in all of the ways, it like especially emotionally, is probably the biggest thing I would recommend for building that value, self-value in.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. And I think also just going back to the whole notion of having time for yourself, like I think that is so important. I think alone time, having your time, you can be as extroverted as, you know, ever. But if you don't have time for yourself and you don't have time to decompress, you're going to feel like you have been leached. I'm talking from experience. Like that it is energy sucking, and having that time too to sit down and, you know, reflect and value yourself, like you're saying, is so important. But I think that this notion kind of gets lost as people get older and people get into relationships and they become reliant on other people. And this whole notion of like your inner self, your childhood self, right? There's a lot of talk about nurturing that now, but that's only a discussion that's been brought up in these recent months, these years, right? So how do we take care of ourselves in that sense when we become part of something greater, right? Like when you're in a relationship, where do you kind of like draw that line? Because I think finding that line when you're there can be really difficult. And I know that this is something that you've gone through too with your marriage, which we can touch on later if you're comfortable with it, but let's start here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm an open book.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's practice. And I think for me, the more I have built this secure attachment to myself and really gotten to know myself. So like I have this intimate relationship with me. That's a really beautiful benefit of all of this work, is you start to understand yourself, to know your patterns, to know your needs. I think a lot of people struggle with boundaries because they don't even know what their needs are to set a boundary around them to be able to get them. And that's why this intimacy, this self-intimacy, is so important. It's, you need to know yourself to be able to actually have healthy relationships with other people. This was a big issue with my ex. Like he would say yes to everything and then resent me. And I'm like, well, you said yes, so it's not my fault. And he's like, well, I didn't know what I needed. And I was like, oh, like he doesn't know himself, you know, like, so he, how can he then be in a healthy partnership? He couldn't. And that's why it didn't work. So I think learning about yourself and having a healthy relationship with yourself first, they say it and it sounds so trite and it's like, you know, okay, love yourself first, whatever. But no, like this is the actual meaning of that and what it actually looks like. Is it's intimacy so that you are your own solid, stable self, because that's what a relationship should be. Two solid people connecting and sharing joy and experiences and fun, not leeching off each other. That's codependency. In so many relationships, people are using each other for something they need. Validation, security. And that's not real love. Like, yes, there's love there. I don't doubt, you know, he loved me, I loved him. You know, it wasn't like we were fake love. It was fake love.
Of course. Yeah.
Healthy, real, true, free love from that place. So I think, you know, I would recommend being, and I'm so glad I've done this. Like, I feel so stable and safe in myself. I'm pretty healthy in my relationships. But then from there, listen to yourself, like listen to when you're starting to feel drained, listen to when somebody's asking you for something. Does this feel like a yes in my body, or am I doing it because I don't want to disappoint them? I'm afraid of saying no. I'm afraid of them leaving me. So it's tuning into those things, and giving from what you want. And I'm not saying it's only selfish. I only do what I want to do, but honestly, I feel like most of my relationships that are really healthy, I'm really giving what I give them. It's, I want to give to them, and it's enough for them because they're not needing me to make them feel okay inside. Like that's what I was using men for, was to make me feel okay, to feel wanted, to feel chosen. I feel like once you've given that to yourself, and if you're in a relationship with a person who has given that to themselves, it's oftentimes pretty easy. And a lot of, you're giving from a full cup. And then when you listen and you say, oh, I don't have capacity to give, that other person should respect you and be able to then find another person or meet that need themselves. So I think it's a very, a lot of it comes down to health, being healthy individuals and then tuning, really being in tune with yourself and your needs and what you're able to give.
Yeah. I think that notion of having your cup full before getting in a relationship and not relying on someone else to fill your cup is so important, because I think a lot of times, especially girls at this age, young women, you kind of get into relationships seeking some sort of, you know, something. You want something and you need them to finish filling your cup. You know, like you're like, okay, it's like maybe 75% there, but I need a little 25% more. And I just need this is an extra person to fill it. But I feel like the beauty in some of these really enjoyable relationships is you find it when your cup is fully full, and you find it when you kind of release the attachment of having it and the necessity of it, right? Like everyone says this, but it comes when you least expect it to come. And I think that's with a lot of things, not just relationships, but the second you release the idea of it filling you or, you know, completing you is when it's given to you, because you feel complete without it.
100%. Well, this is manifestation, release. You need to be in a released, non-attached energy. And this is why the women that they're like, oh, it happened. I wasn't expecting it. Well, yeah, because you were in a released energy around it. Whenever we're chasing things, most of the time we're repelling them, or if we get them, we're forcing something that's not aligned, and it usually blows up in the face. Or so you end up unhappy.
How do you actively make sure that you're in a released energy state? Because it's so easy to just be like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. But you really do care. And you can feel that energy. Even if you're just like, whatever, there's a sense of like, oh, attachment still. So how do you really make sure that you are on the other side?
Yeah. Well, I think the emotional availability, those steps that I kind of walked us through earlier with emotional availability, I think that helps a lot, because for me, I think a lot of the stuff I was looking for from men was really emotional stuff, whether it was validation, whether it was being chosen, whether it was feeling safe or secure or wanted or worthy. I think a lot of those wounds and needs that we have that we're looking to other people for tend to be emotional. And so for me, I saw it just naturally. I just got into this very released, open energy, especially surrounding dating and men, personally, because I'm straight. But whatever, you know, obviously whatever gender you're attracted to, I noticed it just happened as I started to show up for me and have my own back and build that intimate, secure relationship with myself. My cup was full. And when your cup is full, you automatically are just not in that needy energy.
No,
because you're so in your life. And I say that with I've become so magnetic because I do so much work to be in this stable place where I'm just happy. I've built a life that I love. And part of that is learning to really find gratitude for how you have the things you want in your current life and then tap into that energy. So for me, this fall, because it took me a little while to heal from my last relationship and not miss that and want that. But I did that healing work. I became emotionally available to myself, or I'd already been doing that work, but I really dove deep into that work and dug in. But I also celebrated and let myself feel so loved by my friends and family, because I had love in my life. So let me tap into the energy of feeling so cherished and adored in what I do have in my life, those relationships, and nurture them. Same with money. You know, when I have had times, especially as I was starting to do this work and I was like really anxious, really stressed about having my finances taken care of and meeting bills and stuff, I would choose to continue to shift back to faith and trust that I was taken care of, trust that I would take care of myself. But then also, how do I feel abundant with what I have in my life right now? What about the fact that I can walk on the beach, you know, at 8 a.m. And just enjoy the sun and see the water? Like, that's abundance. What about the abundance of enjoying a really delicious bowl of soup that I could afford? You know, finding ways to tap into the energy of what you're calling in the present is also another really great way to help you shift out of that wanting, needing energy.
I love that. I love that. Like finding the beauty in the little things.
I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. That concludes part one of two with Jordan Laurel. Next week, we will dive more into her journey, her story, as well as things she learned from transforming her life and making it what it is today. Jordan, thank you so much for coming. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and I will see you all next week for a new one. Bye. Sunny, 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 sunny